Welcome to the Daytime Confidential Podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're counting down the top five things we're thankful for in soaps. We love this episode, and we hope you do too, so stay tuned. Jamie, welcome.
Luke, hi.
Mel, welcome.
Hey.
Jillian, welcome.
Hello.
And Reagan, welcome.
Hi.
Top five things we're thankful for in soaps. This is one of our yearly top five episodes. People love it. And it's a time to reminisce about the past year and what we were really, truly thankful for. Jamie, why don't you kick us off?
Well, the fifth thing that I was most thankful for this year was mobilized soap fans. I have to say that in the last, you know, odd 15 to 20 years of being a fan of soaps and watching them get canceled, I have never seen any soap fans as mobilized as the ABC soap fans. That's certainly not a slight to the fans of the Procter & Gamble soaps or Passions or anything like that, but the ABC soap fans, I have to say, stepped it up a notch. They went and got sponsors to boycott. They fought like hell for post the cancellations of All My Children and One Life to Live. And I think that in and of itself proves that there is still a market for this type of storytelling. And somewhere out there, there has to be a smart businessman or woman who will be able to figure that out and capitalize on it and figure out a new model for daily serialized drama, whether it be online or cable. I mean, it shows that the audience is there. It might not be the specific audience that Madison Avenue craves, meaning women 18 to 49 or this or that, or people with only one freckle on their butt or whatever demographics they come up with that tell you that this person spends more money on household goods, which is fucking ridiculous. But I'm just on a positive note again. Very impressed by the mobilized soap fans out there.
Reagan?
Well, Mr. Giddens may be thankful for the fans. I am too, but I'm having a fangirl moment for my number five, which was Sarah Michelle Gellar and her cameo in the All My Children final eps.
Wah, wah.
I loved it. I was very thankful for that. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, I heard you all the way from New York.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. She was fantastic, and I just thought it was a great treat for the fans.
Mel?
My number five is Dirty Soap. I really was, because it was nice to see daytime stars in primetime, and it got daytime stars' name out there for primetime, and anything that can promote daytime, I'm all for. So I hopefully there'll be a second season. I'd watch it. So,
Jillian?
I would have to say Soap Stars on Twitter, because you make my job at DC so damn fun when you act the donkey on Twitter. It just makes me scream. It makes the day go by faster. It just makes the hits go up. So kudos. Please keep showing your ass off on Twitter this coming new year. Please. You make my life so easy. You make me laugh. You make me cry. You make me holler. You make me rich. You make my doctors rich too, because my throat is damn sore from screaming when you act the fool. So please keep acting. Cut the fool, please. I'm thankful for you on Twitter. I thank you.
No names. Well, what comes in at number five for me is soapclassics.com and their DVD collection, because you know what? last year, when As the World Turns went off the air, I was not happy. Not having Jack and Carly together was going to be terrible. And even though I love Maura West on Young and the Restless, it just wasn't the same as being able to see her on my TV on As the World Turns. So when they announced that they were doing the DVD collection, I ordered right away. And I'm so thankful that at least someone is figuring out a way to monetize shows, even if it is shows that have gone off the air, because hopefully this will lead to more content on DVD in the future. So I'm very thankful for the 20 classic episodes of As the World Turns I have on DVD.
Makes a great stocking stuffer.
Yes,
and
it
does.
And now
they have a Christmas collection out, Christmas in Oakdale.
And I can't wait to get that one, too. Jamie, who do you have at number four?
My number four is family-owned soaps. And I'll clarify that it just hit me it hit me with the news of the latest news with Prospect Park bowing out. It just hit me that I'm so grateful as a soap opera fan that there are still soap operas that are owned or partially owned by the families that created them. And that is The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful. Y&R is partially owned by the Bell family, and of course Sony owns the majority stake, but they own The Bold and the Beautiful outright, and also Days of Our Lives, which is co-owned by Ken Corday and Sony. And I'll explain, because Lord knows I have given the Cordays and Bells a lot of shit in the 4 years of doing DC. But at the end of the day, it seems like it's shaping up that the soap operas that at least kept a large portion family-owned are the ones that are going to be sticking around. And I have to believe that there is a reason to that. I have to believe that with all of Ken Corday's erratic management decisions over the past 5 years, I think he's proven that because this is his family business, he has a more vested interest in keeping it alive. Yeah, I felt like he was asleep at the wheel when things were, you know, first getting bad. But at the end of the day, at least he woke up 2 years before his show's contract was up for renewal. And he's like, look, this is the family business. I need to write a book. I need to go send people out on tour. I need to let Greg Ming write a book. I need to let Sherry Anderson write books. I need to do whatever it takes to promote and get my family soap back, you know, in fighting game. And I think that it's working. The ratings haven't gone up instantly yet, but you know, it takes time sometimes to get a show back on track. So I'm proud of that. I'm also proud that The Bold and the Beautiful has the singular vision of Brad Bell. While Brad can facilitate between wonky, silly stories and powerful stories, I'm still glad that a Bell is running that show. And I know that at the end of the day, when it comes time to fight, you know, for the future of that show, whether it be on CBS or wherever it ends up after its contract, or if it gets renewed, who knows? But I know that because that is their family business, I believe that they will go the extra mile and we'll see a better fight for its viability than we saw for the ABC soaps, which were corporate owned. I mean, the myth has always been, oh, the ABC soaps would be around longer because they're owned by the corporation, so the corporation has a more vested interest in keeping them on. You know, Brian Frantz has spouted that rhetoric every time, you know, when Guiding Light got canceled. That's the first thing he hollered. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't true. It wasn't true. Those soaps being owned by ABC gave ABC an easy way to cancel them because there were no contracts with production companies to have to contend with. They could just do what they want, and they did, and they're getting rid of them. So I'm glad that the Bells and the Cordays are still in it. You know, I wish another Bell was running Y&R, but, you know, it
a
is.
A blood Bell, a blood,
you know, but, you know, it, and Y&R is getting better. I'm hoping that, you know, people are forcing that issue. But yeah, I'm happy for that, you know, three soaps in daytime are still partially family owned. And I just, you know, of course, you know, it's like the old Cher song, if you could turn back time. But, you know, you have to wonder if you could go back to 1975 and, like, look, I'd want to get in a soap time machine and go back in time and stop Agnes from selling her soaps. You know, because she sold them in 75. If, you know, if there was a way to stop her and be like, no, Mama Agnes, they're going to ruin them. They're going to unabort Erica's baby.
I think Agnes, which she can make that time machine her damn self
like,
right
if
now.
We could just, like, right before she signed the papers, just knock the pen out of her hand. But, yeah, it is what it is.
Reagan?
I'm just thankful that with all these cancellations, we got a good finale out of All My Children. I was happy with it. I know not everybody was, but I was. And now that it looks like we may not see another day of Pine Valley, I'm actually content with what we saw in the cliffhanger that we got out of.
See, me too.
And how appropriate for Erica Kane to go out with a bang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I know everyone is like, I mean, I would love for them to do a 2-hour DVD wrap up, but I mean, after all those PNG smaltzy, everybody happy ending.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that that's how it ended. I don't think everything needed to be wrapped up neatly in a bow. I think this is a soap opera. Soap operas are known for their cliffhangers.
Right out of my mouth, girl.
We got a lot of things answered. We got the appropriate amount of returns, and we got the right cliffhanger, and we got the right tension between Erica and Jack, and we got JR off his rocker with a gun, and we don't know where that bullet ended up, and that's just how a soap should be. So I'm thankful for that ending. I'm thankful that I wasn't spitting nails mad at how it ended, and to hear the news now that we might possibly never know, or at least with Prospect Place, we're going to never know how it's
She said Prospect Place.
Prospect Park. Oh, my God.
Girl, you might as well call it that because it was a soap opera. It was a soap opera covering them. Next on Prospect Place.
Shout out to Pine Valley Comics. He calls them Marvin Gardens. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Marvin Gardens? Really? Why you gotta go?
What's the reference? I don't know what that is.
Monopoly.
Yes.
Marvin Gardens. Oh, okay. Okay.
Gotcha. Mel?
Okay, Reagan had a fangirl moment, and I'm going to have one, too. I'm thankful for Sean and Carly on General Hospital. These two are hot, 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 hot. They just burned up my screen. But I really like that it's a slow build and we're seeing the side of Carly that we haven't seen, or at least I haven't, that, you know, she wants something, but she can't get it. And I like that he's kind of shooting her down. He wants her to. It's hot. Y'all want a good romance? Watch Sean and Carly on General Hospital.
She's just tossing it to him and he's just walking away like, get out of here. I love it.
Jillian?
And going out on those dates with Foxy Brown.
Anyways, boom, Sheikah. Look, let me preface this. I do not mean the actress. So if you're coming at me, okay, I warned you. So don't get mad if I come at you back. I do not mean the actress. I mean the storyline. I am thankful that the storyline featuring Moral West and Sanford and Son is over. No justice in that storyline. I'm sorry. I think the moment that she, you know, was announced that she was coming on YNR, it was dead man walking. And that's why she was given a ham scram storyline. She did the damn thing. But I'm glad that it's over because, you know, they just had her mauled by Peepaw. You can pick who Peepaw is in this scenario. So I'm just glad that it's over. You know, I'm just, you know, I know Moral West is going to bounce back on her feet. If anything, this has taught her, look, you know, don't trust a Maria Bell when she come knocking on your door talking about, I have this fabulous storyline for you. I'm just glad that the storyline was over because it was painful to see some people try to capture their youth with that young lady. So, there you have it.
Are you talking about me?
I didn't say who it was. You can pick a piece there.
How dare you? Who do you think you are?
But it's not over.
Coming in at number 4 for me is Days 2.0, because I was really, really beat down by Dina Higley's Reign of Terror. Ooh. And it has been like a spring shower on parched soil, watching Days of Our Lives.
What so kind I'm, of shower was it?
A spring shower.
On parched what?
Soil. I'm thankful for it, very much so.
As light breaks through yonder window.
Exactly. You sit the spell and you swing, drinking some mint julep tea or something. What was all that?
Mel, or Jamie, sorry, who do you have at number 3?
Well, Luke, I also have the Days reboot. Because it was like two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And I'm glad that the Cordays took the one less traveled by. Okay. Well, I felt I had to be all poetic after all that talk about golden showers. I mean, spring showers.
I did not say golden showers.
So, yeah. No. The the Days of Our Lives reboot is my number 3 also. I don't do that. No showers for me. Only shower I get in is one in the bathtub. No. But, okay. The Days reboot. Bringing this back to a place of decorum and sanctity. Yes, I am happy for it. I've watched this show all my life. It is my favorite soap currently still on the air. I would argue to say it's my favorite soap of all time, but, you know, I have such fond memories of My Another World, but Days was the first soap that just, with my Beau and Hope and my Pete and Melissa and my Shane and Kim, that was my story, and it always has been, and I have followed it up through the ranks, through everything. And I am so happy that it's back on track. It's smart. It's telling smart, sexy stories. It doesn't even feel like, Lord, I mean, it harkens back even pre-Riley era because, you know, I love James Riley, and James Riley is one of my favorite Days writers. I believe, you know, if I had to rank them, it would be in order of importance to that show. Bill Bell Sr., Sherry Anderson and Tom Racina, you know, and Riley. I mean, those are the creatives that really, you know, defined each era of that show. You know, Bill Bell was the turgid psychological soap opera era of the show with the brothers lusting over the same woman and the mama and daughter fighting over the convict man Doug, and you know, mama pushing Hope out the way of the oncoming truck. And then you had the super couple era with Tom Racina and Sherry Anderson, and then, you know, it kind of petered out in the early 90s, and then James Riley came with the Supernatural and, you know, set things on fire. And then after that, we've just kind of been coasting. I think Sally Sussman Marina definitely carried on Riley's tradition well. But then we just have had a myriad of writers that didn't get the show, that didn't know what they were doing in a lot of respects. And then the worst of all was Dina Higley, who just poo-pooed on the legacy of Days of Our Lives. Just pulled up the pants down and just shit all.
Ooh, damn, why she gotta wear the pants?
And I mean to tell you, it was ugly. It was ugly to see, and it felt like it was never going to end. And it's just masterful how they have rebooted that show. it's smart again. It's sexy. You know, they brought on Sarah Brown. I was nervous at first because I was like, oh, Lord, we casting new people already with all the people that everybody wants to come back. But she works. I love Madison. I love Madison and Sammy's relationship. I love that finally Sammy has a job again, because I have wondered how Sammy was taking care of 18 children on a cop salary, you know, unless EJ was paying some hellified child support.
Remember, I'm like, you don't remember John was giving her money also?
I know that, but I'm just saying, it's like John told me to tell her, I didn't, you better get up, you're 35, you laid up and had all these babies, you better go to work, you know, so I'm glad Sammy has a job, and they're showing a very relevant story of women trying to balance work and family. I love that they brought back Countess Wilona into the mix.
Why? You're such an idiot.
I love John back smelling that fart every time he has to try to deal with the fact that he might have embezzled money. And I love my Marlena going, John, no.
Uh-oh. And on that note,
we've come through so much. So yes, I'm happy about the day's reboot. Now you can go, Reagan.
Following the mewing, I actually had Dirty Soap at number 3. I feel like I feel as soap fans, we've invested so much of our time into these actors and actresses careers as these soap stars and characters that we've come to love, that I thought with reality TV being such a hit in the last however many years, a show like this should have been done years ago, and ABC totally missed the boat with soap net as their vehicle. Okay, Brian Franz. And
I'm Marlena. I'm Deidre. I do not like that
the lip gloss
shitty show. Silly, disrespectful little tramp. She lied and said that she called me a bitch. Are you kidding me? I would have had her put in a gilded bird cage.
Tweet.
The mail is a coming, honey.
So I just think, you know, as soap fans, we've invested so much time in their careers and their characters. I just think this was a nice, for lack of a better phrase, thank you to the fans to see their lives behind the scenes and see a lot of these actors and actresses, possibly their lives post soap and what is their next chapter of their lives. And like I said, it's something we should have
hopefully
seen years
with
ago.
Lip gloss.
Stop it. Oh,
Mel.
My number 3 is Melody the Thomas to the Scott. Woo-hoo! Coming back on Young and the Restless, because Lord knows we need her on this show.
Need
Aaliyah Aaron to come back. Is it sad that I'm kind of glad that she went off to rehab, but that she still is a drunk?
Because
Drunk Nikki is my favorite. So.
Such a sweet girl you are to realize that without me and my 50 Soap Opera Digest covers, this show was never going to be the same.
Jillian.
Oh my God, this boy is retarded. I'm just. Ugh.
I have more covers than you, Melody!
Shut up, Eric!
Julius.
My number 3 is Tina coming back to One Life to Live, baby! I love that! My girl, Anton, the real Todd. I'm sorry, Roger Howarth always has been my Todd. Those two coming back. Love it. She came back, you know, Andrea Evans came back in there like a diva and just wrecked shop. Roger Howarth, that man came back and just destroyed storyline. I'm so sorry, but he was a fantastic. He shows, you know, them babies. She's showing that little baby who can't act. I still say he can't act. That boy playing Jack.
He can't.
Who says he can?
I didn't say he could act. I did say he's gotten better. He has gotten better.
I never said you said that, but some folks have said he could act, and I'm like, act.
Oh, I ain't never said he could act now.
Well, so he's still awful. He's just a little bit better at being awful. Is that what you're saying?
Being under Roger Howard's wing, you know, every now and again you see a little ray of sunshine come up, but then he screws it up. The boy fucks it up. I'm sorry. Look, but,
you be quiet, because I will go find YouTube footage of Rebecca Budding's first 3 years on Guiding Light, and that will let the record show that if we got to wait for her to learn how to act, we can wait for that little Andrew.
We don't have time to wait for him to learn how to act.
Whatever his name is, Trishetta. Yeah, you can let that baby learn how to act.
But, you know, those...
like a lot of people who couldn't act.
But that, you know, Roger coming back, he's very good when he works with the younger actors. You know, he molds them. You know, Trevor said, look, it's hard out here for a G like me. I ain't got time to mold that boy, you know, because Trevor's good too. But Roger, he is very good with the younger sect. I mean, Kristen Alderson grew up with him, and you know that girl, you know, she had the best, you know, she had the triple threat when she had Cassie, Roger, and Trevor. But Roger coming back has just been, you know, he just shows why, you know, he was sorely missed. Like, there was something gaping on the canvas with him. And the same thing with Andrea Evans. She came back and did her thing. I just love when those two are on my screen. So there you have it.
Well, coming in at number three for me is also a pair from One Life to Live.
Don't you say
Victor Todd and Taya.
Uh-huh.
This year would not have been the same without those two. I absolutely love them. I miss Trevor St. John on One Life to Live so badly. And his chemistry with Florencia was fantastically amazing. I wish that it had somehow been able to be worked out that he was here till the end, but in light of that not being possible...
He had good chemistry with me, too! Okay. And you all don't ever want to recognize it. And you
okay,
coming
Cassie.
Up with all those adjectives
Cassie.
And adverbs about him and Florencia. Well, him and me had a good chemistry, too!
Oh, you've got Roger back. Just be happy with me.
Ain't you got a Divas a Daytime show to perform, honey?
That should be a podcast episode. Jamie does a one-man Divas a Daytime show.
Oh, ain't you got that hair removal thing to sell to, gal?
Now that from Georgia.
No, she's not. Ain't she from Kentucky?
Somewhere in the South.
Okay, Jamie, who do you have at number two?
I'll tar and feather you. My number two is Web of Soaps hitting their stride. From Anacostia starting its season with Martha to the Bird, whooping a John.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
As a madam. To the Bay coming back and really refocusing on the core family and, you know, giving us sharp episodes, and to Venice coming back with a 25-minute episode that was very primetime ready. Like, I am really impressed with the webisodes. Oh, and Divanity. Lord have mercy. Divanity is coming back. Divanity might be my favorite right now. Divanity is the one with the dysfunctional
Diamond
family. And what's his butt is going to be on there this season? Kyle Lauder. And if this is not the perfect soap for Kyle Lauder, I don't know what is, because it is campy. It is Devo out. He is going to shine. He is going to take names and prisoners, because, you know, Kyle can be a little bit of a Devo in his acting. So
a little. Shit.
Not wait to see the camptasticness that will be Divanity. It premieres in January. I just really feel like we're getting to a point where they can make money, or more money, because, you know, some of them make a little bit of money, but they're getting better. You know, we saw the – and I, you know – we saw the beginning phases of it, which, you know, a friend of mine in the industry kind of said we were in the howdy-doody phase of web of web drama, you know, or of web TV a couple of years ago where, you know, there was just so much experimentation. But now people are starting to really figure out what works on the web. And I feel like that this really is the future. I still believe that, you know, people are like, oh, it doesn't make money right now. Well, guess what? Erna Phillips' shows didn't make a lot of money in the beginning either. That's the problem with a lot of people in this industry. They've, you know, lived off the fattened calf so long that if it doesn't make money enough for their vested interest, they dismiss it. And
they
you
don't
know,
have
that,
the patience to wait for it to pay out.
I think that we are seeing, you know, these shows start to get better, and I'm excited about that. Blip TV is creating new content, you know, opportunities for new content providers. Hulu, Netflix just announced that they're going to be doing Arrested Development. I mean, you know, I really believe that despite Prospect Park failing to move All My Children and One Life to Live to the web and other platforms, it's happening. It's going to happen. And it might be something new. And it might need to be something new. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it might need to be a new soap opera, you know. So I'm excited about the web and what the web of soaps are doing and the future.
Reagan?
It's my list, and I want to be a fangirl, and I'm thankful for any liaison moment I got this year.
There weren't many.
But I got a couple.
Go Buckeyes.
Oh, shut. Oh. Really, Jillian? Really, Jillian?
Went there, parked my car there, boo-boo. How you doing?
Really? Yes, that's what I'm thankful for. And number two,
Mel.
I'm thankful for our four remaining soaps that we have on the air. You know what? They're dropping like flies, but they're not dead yet. And I think everybody needs to remember that because we're all kind of down about what happened with Prospect Park and All My Children and One More Life to Live. But you know what? There's four of these shows that are still on, and I'm going to try my best to watch them all.
Jillian?
Oh, Mel. You just... Damn you. My number two, yes, I'm going to have be like Reagan and have a fangirl moment. I am glad that my Nikki Newman is back on TV. From rehab looking like a diva. I'm like, you know, who I know comes back in a chinchilla-length fur coat, you know, and still on the sauce. Still looks glamorous. Love it.
You girls are so kind. You're so kind to me.
You're such an
ass. And I would like to thank everyone on Twitter, whatever it's called, who helped get me back on the show. I just wanted to be on the show.
Okay. Coming in at number two for me is me? Leo and Greenleaf's reunion. Nearly long enough, but Josh Duhamel being back on All My Children opposite of Rebecca Budding was heaven in a bottle.
That was
but ironically, I do have a tie at number two.
You have a tie?
Yes, because it was also...
Is it a top ten list, a top five list on Daytime Confidential? Of course.
Havens.
He has more ties than fathers on Father's Day.
Alexa Havens returning as Babe. Well, Greenlee and Leo were my couple. Seeing her chemistry with Jacob Young once again was fantastic.
Let the record show that you shit on Babe the whole time.
I did. I hate a Babe. I hate a Babe character, but Alexa Havens was
Babe to pay for her crimes. It's not right.
But Alexa Havens being back as a guest, as a ghost, with Jacob Young's JR and trying to give him a little bit of sanity, shall we say, was great. They still had the chemistry. Number one, Jamie.
Fair weather fans. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, no.
My sense about Babe has not changed.
Oh, let the record show.
Oh, Claire. Honey, you're number one.
The record show. My number one is One Life to Live, the entire show this past year. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sorry. I don't give a fee-fi-fo-fuck. Say I am favoring them. Say I am biased. Yeah, I am. I'm biased about a show that actually was good. And it was amazing this past year. The Tale of the Two Tides, this freaking porn storyline, even though that baby couldn't act.
That's not where I would go about.
Yeah,
I don't care about the acting. The reveal was hilarious, and the juxtaposition of that reveal and all the little innuendo in that porn storyline. Austin Peck as the sleazy perv. I think he's hilarious. The humor that Rama and Vimal bring to the show. The sex that Josh Kelly brings to the show as Cutter. Eileen Kristen running around messing up words better than Luke Kerr. I mean, it is just this show. Clint and Vicky slowly coming back together.
Oh.
Just, you know, Cord and Tina, who I never really watched because, you know, that was before my time. But they're... wonderful reunion. Oh my gosh, the feud between Jessica and Natalie. Those sisters, I enjoyed the hell out of them this year with their trashy
balling bitches, boy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was just old school classic soap with a tongue-in-cheek soap, Arrested Development soap dish kind of feel to it. Like, they know at One Life to Live that soaps can be silly. And they, while giving us some of the best traditional soap opera we've had, they also poke fun at it. And I think that that's a good thing. Because you can't keep telling stories about people getting plastic surgery to look like other people without having a little humor to it. That's where I think soaps mess up, is when they try to tell that same story for the 80th time and act like, oh my God, no one would even think it was odd that Gigi now looks like Stacy and Riri and Mimi or whatever. But, you know, I think that they really have a zest for life at that show. It is shown. It is so funny. I think it's just as smart or funny as Arrested Development or Soap. And I, you know, it's really sad. I've watched on One Life to Live. I've said this before, since 2003 or four. I should be angrier about All My Children, which I've watched since 1989. I have a much longer history with All My Children. For all the people who think, oh, I just hate All My Children. No, All My Children made me stop watching The Young and the Restless for many years. At a certain point, I was watching All My Children more than the soaps that I grew up on, with the Erica and Dimitri and First...
Oh, don't do it!
Anton and Maria and Wildwind and Noah and... Julia, that was my show back in the day, but it was brutalized and murdered and raped and pilfered and destroyed by Megan McTavish and Chuck Pratt. That's never been a slam on the actors of the show, these amazing actors, but the writers, Brian Fron, let two writing regimes destroy the show. So yes, when I first heard it was going to be, you know, that's how it was supposed to be. It was going to be either or. Yes, I was like, okay, if they're going to have to cancel one, it does not need to be One Life to Live. So, yeah, I became very zealous in my protection of One Life to Live, and that might have been mistaken as I didn't care about All My Children. No, I wanted All My Children to be good again. But if it wasn't going to be good again, I didn't think that the show that was good should have to have the same fate. But as it is, they both got cut, and GH is next. So it's like it wasn't a situation of which child will be saved, you know. Aunt Sweeney said she dumped it all up at the orphanage, you know. So,
oh, my God.
You know, it's no more favorite child, you know. It's like, I don't want none of y'all bastards.
No, no, it's like Solomon. Like,
yeah, that's what I thought. It was like the Solomon situation. It's like, fuck all of them. Throw
cut
them
both.
You know, One Life to Live is my number one.
Reagan?
I have to agree. Number one, One Life to Live. There is nothing that gets me more excited than watching an episode of One Life to Live. It is by far the best soap opera on television.
Really? You excited?
I'm sorry, I can't follow him. I can't. So I can't.
That isn't a really lucky place to be for anybody.
I can't follow him, so I just state the facts.
So dry with it, I'm like, girl, you are not a cheerleader.
Can't follow him. It's fan- right down to this last episode, new episode this week of Thanksgiving. It was, it was amazing. They hit the right note every single episode, even if it's a little bit of a dumb storyline, like hold the diploma. They still hit the right note somewhere. If the storyline stupid, Austin Peck is still fantastic in it. There's something always right about it, even if you have a problem with part of it. Like, I hated the porn storyline, but he was fantastic. Every line out of his mouth was hysterical and perfectly placed. I love One Life to Live. I am so upset that it is going off the air. I can't even tell you how upset I am. At this point in the game, as much of a General Hospital person as I am, I would not be as upset to see General Hospital leave ABC. As I am about One Life to Live.
Wow. Now, you know you mean business because you are a GH hope for life. Now, I know you mean business. Anybody who's listened to us knows that Reagan will cut a bitch for GH, but she is doing the Solomon treatment. She's like, no, sacrifice that other
mom. She telling the truth and shaming the devil.
Yep.
Yes.
I would much rather have One Life to Live get those 9 months than General Hospital in that 80s.
Honey.
Every time I watch an episode, all I keep thinking is I'm one less episode closer to the end, and I can't even grasp the concept of that. It just breaks my heart. It is so damn good, and I applaud every member of that cast, crew, everybody for just giving it their all to the very last end, because it has just been top-notch. I would have thrown my hat in and said, screw you all. I quit. This is bullshit. You gave up on us. I give up on you. But you guys, the One Life to Live cast and crew, you are a true professionals giving back to your fans. And you are just amazing. This is just, it's a true pleasure to fire up that DVR every day. It really is.
See, you can follow, Jamie. You did very well.
I'm about to cry.
Yeah, God damn it, Reagan.
Lord.
Mel?
Well, I'm going to change the pace a little bit. I'm going to get sappy, though. Number one is Daytime Confidential. Never in my life would I have imagined when I started doing this 4 years ago that I would have four friends as close as I do, Reagan, Jillian, Luke, and Jamie, of course. I never would have imagined we would have all these readers that we talk to all the time on Twitter. And sometimes it's just fun to go on Twitter, say crazy stuff to see how they react. I'm not going to lie. But I can't even put into words how amazing it is our readers are and everyone else, and just how we've grown since back in the day. When it was, you know, the four was just doing this. And I was a little sick earlier this month or so. And immediately when my podcast co-host found out, they all called me everything and made me feel so loved. And I don't even know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do without y'all and Daytime Confidential and the Soaposphere. So y'all keep me grounded. Y'all keep me level. And it's always fun to come on here and have a good time with y'all. So
God damn it, Miss Texas. I got to put on my Chanel sunglasses. Shit. What's wrong with you?
I love you all.
We love you too. You my sister, girl.
You don't know how excited this fool was when he found out you were a Texan. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. That was like kindred spirits. I'm like,
Texas forever.
Texas, our
it's
Texas.
A Friday Night Live.
All hail the mighty state.
Oh, Texas,
our Texas. So wonderful, so great. Boldest and grandest.
Shut up. No.
Make me do it because y'all got pride in where y'all come from.
Mm-hmm. But this is called
Jillian.
Anyway.
you have at number one?
My number
one. Look at what your state theme song is.
I've lived in so many different places, I don't have one.
Be on the run from the bill collector.
He got out in old New Orleans.
So stupid. Okay. You know what? I'm going to pull a Luke and have a tie. My number one is Days of Our Lives and One Life to Live. You know, all, you know, the Bell shows and GH, especially GH, needs to take heed into what those two shows are doing. They chucked Days chucked everything that heifer Dina Higley wrote and was like, they pulled a Bob Guza when Megan McTavish wrote at GH for that split second, when Guza forgot whatever Megan McTavish penned and kept trucking. That's what Days did. They forgot it. They were like, Dina Higley does not exist. You know, we've banished her. We've vanquished her. You know, them Secret Circle chicks bonded that heifer. And they were like, we're going to do it our way. And they've been doing it amazingly. One Life to Live has always been the gold standard. And now the ratings reflect it. You know, everybody thought it was a fluke that show. Oh, because they've canceled, the ratings will perk up. No, the ratings are still the number, you know, they're still stunning in the ratings. Those two shows show you exactly how a soap is supposed to do it. And it just makes me happy to watch those shows, because it's giving viewers what we always wanted. We want, you know, they give us a little bit of adventure, a little bit of suspense, thriller, drama, and romance. They give you everything. Comedy, they give you everything thrown into one show. And not everything is just so bland and dire and blah, you know. It's not a one-note show. They give you everything that you need to watch. And it's just a damn shame, you know. Everybody thinks that I grew up on YNR. I've been an ABC girl. My grandmother was an ABC chick for life. You couldn't put it to no CBS in her house. You about to get got up in that mug doing that. I've been an ABC girl since as long as I can remember. So it just breaks my heart to see how all my children in One Life to Live have gone down that path. But, you know, I cut for One Life to Live more because you have a writer on that staff who grew up with the show just like we have and decided, you know, I was a fan of this show growing up, so I'm going to, you know, give fans what we all watched. And that's with Ron Carlovati. He's given fans what we all wanted to see when, you know, growing up, what we've seen. He's given it back to us. And the Days writers are just like, look, we, you know, this wasn't working under this regime. We're going to give fans classic soaps. And it's doing well. So there you have it.
Well, coming in at number one for me is Daytime Confidential. This past week, we celebrated the 5th year anniversary of the podcast and the 4th year of the blog. And when I think about what has transpired in the past 5 years, there have been lots of highs, there have been lots of lows. But through it all, the people at Daytime Confidential, the contributors as well as the fans, have made it a fantastic ride. I can't imagine having done it with anyone else, whether it be a current contributor, past contributors, the readers, the listeners. The listeners have made the podcast so entertaining with their call-ins to the hotline, sharing their thoughts via email or in the comments on Twitter, and on the blog, the interaction that we have on a daily basis with readers on the blog has made some of the highs and many of the lows something that we can get through together, and I can't imagine not having had this opportunity. I never would have thought 5 years ago when I started the podcast that it would turn out this way. So for me, it's been a fantastic time these past 5 years, and I look forward to another 5.
Although we've come to the end of the road. My bad.
This road is going to keep on.
I'm at the end of the show now, fool.
And on that note,
I don't care if I have to tape myself doing remakes of The Perils of Pauline. I mean, we'll cover that. Look, well, Jamie Giddens in Painted Dreams. Hello, we'll Mother have... Monahan. Hello, Sethi. I we'll think I might have... marry Biff today. And now I want to talk to you about Massengill.
on this episode at Daytime Confidential.
Mother, sometimes I don't feel that fresh.
com/DC Confidential and add us as a friend on Facebook. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Come and visit us in Barrett Falls on Massengill Live.
Oh, no.